This is Greg Olson, inviting you to check out my new Blue Wire podcast, TE1, where I interview tight ends throughout the history of the NFL who have helped revolutionize the position. TE1 is presented by the Chevy Silverado. The Silverado is all about grit. It's strong and dependable, exactly like playing tight end. Just like the incredible players we sit down with on the podcast, the Chevy Silverado is in a league of its own. Strong, advanced, and dependable. Download TE1 today, wherever you listen to podcasts.
Blue Wire.
NBA Most Valuable Player, Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Giannis trailing the lob. Ooh. Oh! Giannis Antetokounmpo.
2 seconds. Middleton. Yes! Chris Middleton.
Back jumper. Got it!
Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Hello and welcome to the Eurostep, a Milwaukee Bucks podcast, proudly a part of the Blue Wire Podcast Network. I am Ty Windisch. I am joined, as always, by the ubiquitous Rohan Kadi. We are brought to you today by DoorDash, BetOnline.ag, and Greg Olson's tremendous podcast, TE1. And we are here to talk about, obviously, the Milwaukee Bucks. And if you listened to the last episode, which if you haven't, go ahead, download it, listen to it right now. We'll wait until you come back. We are grading the entire roster by position groups. So last episode was guards. This time we are tackling the forwards, and I'm excited to get into it. But first, Rohan, how's it going, and how did your test go?
My exam did go well, and also
Rohan's big and fancy. He doesn't take tests; he has exams. Excuse me.
Okay. Well, let's. Don't call me fancy when you're on here calling me ubiquitous in the start. Okay. I just want to say that was a nice word choice.
Thank you.
That sounded very confident. Did you think about it beforehand?
Of course not. Come on.
Okay, cool. I wanted to make sure.
That's insulting. No, I promise I had not. I really was worried I was going to flub it, but we got through it and we can carry on. We're going to start at the very obvious point here. Chris Middleton, if you're talking forwards on the Bucks, and this probably makes it obvious, but we'll say it anyway. We're not considering Giannis a forward. Giannis is a big. Probably not going to get into why. I mean, just mostly like Bledsoe, Chris, and Giannis being on three different episodes made the most sense. But regardless, there's a little peek behind the curtain. But Giannis is considered a big. So out of all the forwards, Chris Middleton.
Madden superstar. Okay, can we talk about that for a sec? Yeah, why on earth is that a thing?
So
what is it, first of all?
I presume, I don't know what game mode it is, like if it's going to be in their ultimate team or if it's just in...
It said the yard, whatever that is.
Okay, so it sounds like they just made up a game mode, which is totally fine. I mean, that's what you should do with something like this. But I think they saw like how utterly stupid 2K has gotten. And I know we both play my team. Like they saw that like...
Oh, do you have 21? Caruso.
No, I don't. Oh. Absolutely not. I don't even want to talk. Don't even get me started. We'll be 40 minutes before we get to Chris. But they saw like 2K like giving Bol Bol 99 overall cards and like making Shaq hit step back threes. And they saw how much money 2K is making. And they were like, well, I guess we're not ridiculous enough over here at Madden Studios, who are EA Sports.
It's in the game.
And now Giannis is in the game.
Yeah. It's such a weird collaboration considering like, what do we have associated with Giannis in football? Like, he went to a Packer game once?
He did. He did indeed go to a Packer game once. Good picks from that.
Yeah. Hey, you know what? Get that brand deal. That's a pretty big brand deal, too.
I was going to say, that is a pretty big brand deal, and I think it's actually really cool. I mean, the game might suck. Who knows? But it's really cool, first, that Giannis is getting this kind of, like, brand deal, sponsorship, whatever. I mean, there's been questions and conversations of like, can anyone or can Giannis be the face of the league from Milwaukee? Can, you know, a foreign-born player truly be the face of the league? All these things have been talked about ad nauseum. I don't want to go deep into it, but I mean, it's another good sign for Giannis. And I think the reason I said it's very cool is he got to bring his brothers with him, which I think is very, very cool to Giannis. And I think like that's how much weight he's pulling at this point, right? Like, I don't think the folks at EA Sports were like, how do we get Thanasis Antetokounmpo into this video game? No offense to my close personal friend Thanasis, but I don't think that was the goal. Like, I don't think that's what they set out to do. I think, you know, they approach Giannis, and Giannis is like, I'll do it, but so will Tanasis and Kostas. I think that's super cool. Like, I just think that's awesome that he is making, like, he's not just saying, like, family is my brand. Like, he's very much like, no, like, I'm not doing it unless there's multiple Antetokounmpos with me.
Yeah, no, it's really cool. It just speaks to who he is as a person, you know?
Yeah.
That's just what he does. It's the saying that they said in the game, family over everything, you know?
Do you have the game?
No, I haven't played a Madden. I think the last Madden that I bought for myself, oh God, was it Madden 11?
Oh wow, it's been a long
time. It's been a long time. I've mooshed off of my friends and played a little bit.
Of course. Yeah.
But I haven't played a game of Madden since in 4 years, I want to say.
I went from Madden 17 was my last one. I got Madden 20 2 months ago when it was on sale for $18. It's very, Giannis being in the game would certainly help. EA Sports, though, send us codes. Let us play.
Hey, yeah, no, I'll play the game.
Let us play with Giannis on Madden. We'll stream it. We'll do whatever, but EA Sports, hit us up. Yeah. Put us in the game, too. But, yeah, let's get to Chris. I mean, we're 5 minutes. Oh, yeah. That's not too bad.
It's better than we usually do.
That's fair. Chris Middleton, first quick run through the stats. 29.9 minutes per game. Shout out, Bud. Chris averaged 20.9 points, 6.2 rebounds, 4.3 assists, 0.9 steals, 2.2 turnovers. He shot, of course, very nearly 50-40-90. He shot a woke 50-40-90.
did you?
I did 54.6% from two, 41.5% from three, 91.6% from free throw. That is a woke 50-40-90. Wake up, sheeple. Wake up. Field goal percentage is stupid.
It's a woke 50. I'm sorry. Have you said that before? I've never.
I haven't. Okay. I haven't. I made it up during prep for this. It's gonna get stolen, like so many things of mine, and I'm fine with it. I'll gladly offer it up to the discourse at large. But he had a woke 50-40-90 this year, 56 or 54. I mean, it wasn't even close. Like very clearly, and that's how they should do it. They don't, but that's how they should do it.
Yeah. No, I agree. But yeah, he had a great. Just let's go overall first. He's just had a fantastic overall season. He played like a superstar in the league. That's not a question. That's just facts.
Snubbed from all NBA. No, I'm not over it. No, I'll
no,
never
he
be
really
over it.
Honestly, I forgot about that until right now, and now I'm upset again.
Yep.
Just he's the only reason the Bucks didn't get swept.
Oh yeah, very literally. Very yeah. literally.
Yeah, he's capable of, you know, being like a number one guy on given nights. He'll go get 51 for you, given it was against the Wizards. But
he will get 30, 35 for you on against a real team.
Yeah, no, for sure. He can be a number one guy. Do you really want him to be a number one guy? No, especially when you have Giannis. But he's a solid number two. Just overall, played like a superstar all season long, and... it's top 20 player, I'll say.
This season, easily. Yeah. Easily this season.
How high are you going?
This year?
Yeah.
That might be as high as I'm willing to comfortably go.
Okay.
Another iffy, I shouldn't say another, but some more iffy playoff stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, clearly, the Heat were able to make him a focal point with Giannis limited and then hurt. But still, and even against Orlando, his shoot, he was just off a little bit. But Chris is kind of just a streaky player. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's he's not a 16 game player. I just think he's a streaky player and he's gotten unlucky. And again, the Bucks have not.
We've seen
him
do it in the playoffs, though.
Yeah, we totally have. We totally have.
It's so just, said, it's a streaky thing.
Yeah. I'm not concerned about him going forward. I mean, not more so. I don't think he's unfit for playoffs, whatever. I think he's very, very good. I think. The team let down a lot of the players, and the players kind of let down a lot of each other in a lot of different aspects, but very, very good. I won't go higher than comfortably top 20, because there are some guys like Jimmy Butler, for example, who I would argue regular season-wise, Chris certainly better, but if you factor in all of it, it's tough to say. I mean, they're at least close. Jimmy outscored, rebounded, and assisted LeBron in a finals game, for God's sake. I mean, the guy's incredible. You got to give Jimmy Butler, his flowers.
Marquette guy.
Big Marquette guy. If you think that's not a reason I brought this up. You know who else has been incredible? Jay Crowder.
Oh, yeah.
Not really. Only against the Bucks. No. But I gave Chris an A overall.
I gave him an A+.
Yeah, that's fair. I don't think I'll give an A+. I don't think
really?
Not this year. Not to anyone.
Okay.
It just Teaser. It ended too poorly. It ended too poorly. That's like fair. I just and I know it, I'm not saying it's Chris Middleton's
no,
fault.
No, I'm saying
squarely.
I'm saying overall as a player.
Yeah.
A plus.
No, I know. I'm still soured.
Like just if we're saying he's a superstar, I'm giving him an A plus.
You can do that.
Yeah. I did.
I'm not disagreeing. I'm gonna stick with the A.
Okay. So in terms of expectations, what did you, going into the season, what did you think was going to happen with Chris this season? Did you expect sort of this happening?
No, actually, I was kind of thinking he might. I figured most likely scenario was that he was very close but slightly worse to how he played last year. I figured that was like the 90 percentile, like most common option. I didn't expect him to get better, and he very clearly did. Like, he got way better, especially offensively. So I gave him an A, and honestly probably closer to an A plus on expectations, just because it's so hard to be a player. What was he in his seventh season, I think? Yeah, it's so hard to be an all-star for the first time in your seventh season, despite being a full-time starter since your second season. So like all those reps and everything else, I just think it's so impressive to me that he became an all-star then and managed to elevate his level of play more. It's really not something you see. And even if it's like an incremental improvement, I think both like at that level of player anyway and considering the circumstances, it's really, really impressive. So I lied. I guess this will be my A plus. I think he deserves it for not just like matching expectations and definitely not wilting under them, but exceeding his level of play. Like, that says a lot about Chris.
Yeah, Martin. Just the improvement was not something that I saw coming, realistically. Like, it was tough to put him, like, in that position after he had, like, a good regular season last year, like, a good year last year. I just didn't think he had it in him to really be that guy. I think it was more, like, we've talked about this before, but it's more of, like, a system opening up for him sort of thing. That happened this year compared to last year. Last year, he was still fantastic, but even as we look through it, going back, what are we referencing, Ty?
Binge the Box.
Yeah, it's always there. He was always, he just seemed limited. And then it just seemed to open up this year, and that just led, he just flourished, and it was just completely unexpected for me, so A plus.
Yeah, and I mean, like, I thought he could do some of this stuff, but I didn't think he was going to turn in awoke 50 40 90 on 20 points per game, and like especially like the stuff, and I know non-Bucks fans and probably even some Bucks fans are probably sick and tired of like getting the non-Giannis per 36 Chris Middleton stats regurgitated at you ad nauseum. I don't even have them up, honestly, but like it's so impressive to me also that he thrived, especially in those minutes. Like, that showed like he's not riding Giannis's coattails.
That's what
he's
a number just, two is supposed to do.
It is. It absolutely is. And I just, it's just a very impressive season from Chris Middleton. So yeah, I think, well, I mean, we agree. Very, very high marks. Needs to work on that handle still, but picking Knicks.
Maybe it's like, he's a good passer. Maybe like, you know, show it a little more often.
He's a good passer. I think it's just hard for him to get to spots to make some of those passes.
Yeah.
But
imagine Chris Middleton shows up next season, just like jacked.
Or with handles.
Yes.
Like, he just dribbles basketballs in plastic bags all offseason.
No, but in terms of, like, he can actually, like, get to the rim at a higher clip.
That would be fun, too.
I don't know. That's just something interesting. Also, I feel like it would look a little weird.
Yeah, I don't know if I want him to. I don't know if I'm prepared for that visual. It would be so sheepish, but it would look even weirder.
Yeah, think of the Alex Caruso Photoshop before the season starts. Or like LeBron when he was like coach and said he wanted me to play more center or something, and he photoshopped his arms.
Big arm photoshops are hilarious. I will give
you
that.
Yeah, just on the Lakers, apparently.
Yeah, well, I mean, the Lakers get a lot of Photoshop attention.
Yes, every single player in the league.
That's how you know Chris will really have made it, by the way.
Didn't he get one last year?
Oh, he probably did. I was going to say, it won't be for a while because he's not a free agent. He probably did. We're going to have to share that on Twitter or something if he did. Because I might have missed it, but I feel like I would enjoy that more than get mad at that. It's a status symbol. You got to be a Nick and you got to be a Laker online.
Yeah. No, for sure. I recall him being a Laker, I think.
Okay. Careful with the sentence. I know I did the same thing, but It grossed me out for a second.
Under contract with the Bucks. Don't worry.
For a very long time. Yes. Let's talk about Wes Matthews, someone who unfortunately is not under contract with the
Marquette
Bucks.
Marquette guy.
And did you see, I think he just made a big donation to the MAC Fund?
He did. Biggest donation in history of the MAC Fund, I'm pretty sure.
That is props to awesome. Him. Mm-hmm. That is very awesome. And, I mean, it's a lot bigger than this and more important than this, but not a terrible sign about his thoughts toward, I mean, we all knew he was high on Milwaukee and Wisconsin. You know, he's from here and everything else. But I wouldn't look at it as like he's for sure coming back because he donated to the MAC Fund. But it's like, it's certainly not a negative thing.
Yeah,
that
no,
he's thinking
for sure.
of Wisconsin right now.
Yeah, for sure.
A lot of reasons to think of Wisconsin.
I passed a billboard on my drive home of just like Wes Matthews with like the, like on the back of his jersey in the bubble, it said vote. And that was just a billboard.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's dope.
Mm-hmm. It was like, it was one of those like electronic ones that like change images, but it was still one of them. Cool. Yeah.
That's awesome.
I enjoyed that a lot.
I like that a lot. Yeah. He's big on voting right now. Everyone vote. Everyone register to vote and vote, please. Make Wes Matthews happy. If enough of us vote, Wes has to stay.
Yes.
It's basically a fact.
Only one way to find out.
There is indeed only one way to find out.
But actual basketball.
Yeah. I mean,
overall.
What did you say?
I just like it's just taking him out of context. He's a good defender, great defender. He should be considered for all NBA defense, but not make it according to
Should have gotten at least two votes. I'm going full LeBron on this.
Should have gotten at least two votes.
At least two third place votes. Did you see Ed Stefanski got a third place vote for Executive of the Year?
They announced Executive of the Year?
Yeah, Lawrence Frank, excuse me.
Really?
Which is so hilarious now, yeah.
Huh.
I don't know why they announced it now, but they did. So congrats to Lawrence Frank.
Yes, sure.
Johnny Horst got a couple votes, but
did he?
The Detroit, yeah, he got a few. He's like
Ed Stefanski got how many votes?
One.
One third place vote.
Like, I'm really
who
like
votes
racking
for these?
The executives.
So is him.
I don't know. I need to find the rules. I need to find the rules. But I'm just like so shook because like there's some guys who got one vote and I'm like, sure, like they did something. Like they had one good move that you might have liked. I think he got the exact same amount of votes as Sean Marks, which is just amazing.
Really?
Like one guy gets KD and Kyrie and one guy drafts Sekou?
Hey,
I don't know. I don't know what he did.
Hey, no, you know what? They got Tony Snow.
I think, like, literally, it might be Christian Wood. Christian
really?
Wood might have been their vote. That's why he got that vote.
Oh, my goodness.
Shout out to Christian Wood, another friend of the pod. We're so far off track. That's my fault. But Wes Matthews.
Yeah,
I don't even remember what. Oh, the votes, yeah. Okay,
yeah.
Go on.
Wes Matthews, solid defender. Really good defender. Didn't really ever really find a groove offensively.
Correct.
Ever. He was never... You could never really rely on him to do the one thing that he was brought in to do, and that's shoot threes. Could never really rely on that. You look at, we saw at the end of the season that he could actually drive to the rim, and it's like, okay, cool. Where was that since like last October?
Yeah, he's a good cutter too.
Yeah, it's like, cool. Maybe try that sometime. Just the one thing he did offensively, he didn't do that well. So it's hard for me to, you know, really give him like a good grade here because he's really only a one-dimensional guy.
See, I think I disagree. I gave him a B+.
I gave him a B-.
Okay, so we don't disagree that much. Like, I don't think he's a negative on offense.
No,
I just
no,
think
not,
he's a
not
neutral.
At all. Yeah, he's not bringing anything, but he's also not taking away.
No, like, he was fine. I mean, he hit some big shots. He missed some other big shots. As you said, just offensively rough. The field goal percentage looks worse than it is because he took more than two times the amount of threes that he did twos. So he shoots 47% from two, 36.4% from three, 7 points.
Which is, like, those aren't terrible percentages. It just, he
just
never
fine.
Seemed to, like, find a groove.
You would hope they would be better playing next to Chris Middleton and Giannis Antetokounmpo, which is kind of an issue. But his defense really was spectacular. I mean, he took all the hardest defensive assignments.
Yes, that was his biggest role on the team. He took defensive pressure off of Chris and Giannis.
Yeah.
He would go against like LeBron, Kawhi, and like hold his ground, do actually really well.
Yeah,
and just
and
like
just
you don't have to tire out your superstars on the other end.
Exactly. So that's why I said the B+, just because the defense was so good. Even if the offense was just passable, like if you look at guys like this year, like Lu Dort was like really only playing because he's such a great defender. And aside from that one insane game,
what are you talking about? Offensive superstar Lu Dort. Did you watch him in the playoffs, Ty?
He probably has a 99 on 2K my team right now. But
there's no opals in the game for sale yet.
Yeah, they're still cooking up the Lu Dort card. Just wait. They're waiting for Alex Caruso to put up 14 in a finals game so they can mint the first one. but no, I totally lost my train of thought. Way to go, Rohan. No, I'm just kidding. But no, usually like guys who are that good on defense that can like credibly take on first options, if they're not like a star player like a Paul George, I mean, okay, a player like Paul George who's a two-way, I don't want to say star right now with Paul George.
My fault. Random interjection. Best tweet I saw. I can't remember who it was, but it was like, I think it was Whistle Sports tweeted like, who's a role player you would go off with on 2K? And someone quote tweeted and said Paul George.
That's awesome. Shouts to friend of the pod, Maggio, who's I believe works over at Whistle.
Nah, yeah.
But usually like a lot of these like defensive only guys are like minuses on offense. And since Wes isn't, I was like, okay, he's a better than average, I feel like, fifth starter, mostly defense wing, which is such a niche thing to say. It doesn't really mean anything, but that was my thought process.
Okay, that's fair. I don't know. Just like, I feel like a B minus is solid. Maybe I'm being too harsh, but
maybe I'm being too generous. I mean, the offense really wasn't there. I'm probably being too generous. You know what? I'll move down to just a straight B.
Okay, I'll stick with a B minus.
Okay, I'm not moving again. I gave him an A versus expectations, though.
Okay. That's interesting. Why?
So, like, I didn't expect him to start necessarily when they signed him. And I know some people did. Yeah, and I will give credit. A lot of people, I think yourself included, were like, no, like, he's always started. He's going to start. And I was like, well, you know, a lot of guys have always started until they're just not starters anymore.
I didn't think, like, I don't know who would start over him.
Yeah, I suppose. I mean, that's totally fair. Dante, I guess, was the one. Nah. I mean, we had early season pods about, like, if Dante was going to take it, if there would be a controversy.
That's true. Oh, my God.
Is Sterling Brown
going to
take a leap? And
oh,
Pat
God.
Was hitting threes?
Oh, like, we'll hit that later.
yeah, we will. But, yeah, I don't know. Like, I didn't think it was set in stone. And for him to go from, I mean, vet minimum, you know, just a guy they found. And clearly, like, a focal point of their offseason was getting him. But still, like, he's a vet minimum guy who's just kind of, you know, post-injury segment of his career, kind of heading down the slopes. And he was just, like, really good most nights. I mean, he had a crazy big impact on plus-minus, especially defensively. Like, it wasn't just something that you could see. Like, the numbers bear it out. He was very influential and important to the Bucks' defense. Just, I don't know. Personally, I did not expect that much of Wes Matthews. And I thought he just played really well, especially when looking at, again, like, he's a guy they found for literally vet minimum, and he became a very solid starter at the very least.
Yeah, no, that's fair. I just, in terms of, like, the guy he's replacing is so much better than him.
Yeah, that's tough.
You know?
Yeah, I guess I didn't think of it like that.
Like, he's clearly, like, not the same player as Brogdon, clearly different archetype, and I think that was intentional, but Brogdon's so much better than Wes Matthews.
2020 playoff assist per game leader, Malcolm Brogdon.
Really?
Yeah, double digit. I mean, he was leading before.
It's four games.
Well, still.
Yeah.
Assist per game leader. Wait, listen. We're Bucks fans. We're used to hanging our hats on any possible statistical achievement we could find.
Like the NBA Hustle Award? Which apparently, this is the fourth time it's been given up.
Has it been given out to a Buck?
I don't think so, but
pull up the numbers.
Is it? Okay.
You got to pull it up. Did you give your grade?
For expectations? Like, yeah. In terms of that, I gave him a B+.
That's fair.
NBA Hustle Award.
Okay, you do that. Are we done with Wes Matthews?
Yeah, I guess.
I think good season. I hope he comes back. But yeah, if he comes back, please hit the shots, Wes.
Yes, please.
Please hit the shots. The Bucks counted on Wes Matthews. I'm counting on Rohan to pull up the NBA Hustle Award history.
Apparently, Marcus Smart won it last year?
See, I was doing an ad read segue.
Oh, sorry.
No, it's fine. It's fine. The Celtics count on Marcus Smart. I'm counting on Rohan to let me get through this time. And you've counted on restaurants, dear listener, and now they're counting on you. And while their dining rooms may be closed, they're still open for delivery with DoorDash. DoorDash is the app that brings you the food you're craving right to your door. They dash it there, you could say. Ordering is easy. Open the DoorDash app, choose what you want to eat, and your food will be left safely outside your door with the new contactless delivery drop-off site. Choose from your favorite national restaurants like Chipotle, Wendy's, and the Cheesecake Factory. Plus, many of your favorite local spots are still open for delivery too. Just open the DoorDash app, select your favorite local restaurant, and your food is on its way. Right now, Eurostep listeners can get $5 off, $5 off, and zero delivery fees on their first order of $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app and enter promo code BLUEWIRE. That's $5 off your order and zero delivery fees when on that first order when you download the DoorDash app in the App Store, enter promo code BLUEWIRE. Don't forget, that's promo code BLUEWIRE, B-L-U-E-W-I-R-E, for $5 off your first order with DoorDash. Okay, let's hear about the Hustle Award.
So I think 16-17, it was Pat Bev.
Oh.
But, I mean, I know it was. I'm trying to figure out who 17-18 was.
Did they take a year off? Was it too contentious?
I don't know.
I guess he deserves the Russell. The Russell. I gave
Amir Johnson.
Oh, that's great. So the winners of this award are Pat Bev, Amir Johnson, Marcus Smart, and now Montrezl Harrell. What? Why? Last season, the NBA. This is from the Amir Johnson article. Last season, the NBA introduced the Hustle Award to honor the players whose greatest contributions may not always show up in the box score or make the nightly highlights. What was often described as dirty work or intangibles now has measurable stats. This includes diving on the floor for loose balls, sacrificing your body by taking charges. Come on, Ersan, really? Not even once? Getting a hand in the passing lane to cause deflections, just closing out on shooters to contest shots, and setting solid screens.
That lead directly to made baskets.
Like, first off, why is helping up teammates not a criterion? Because then Tony Snell would win.
Tony Snell deserves the Tony Snell Award.
Yeah, I mean, this is...
That's the second Tony Snell mentioned on this pod.
We're going to mention Tony Snell every day.
Getting a hand in the passing lane to cause deflections. Just the way that's worded is hilarious.
You got to hear Amir Johnson's quote. This is so heartfelt. This is definitely an honor. I pride myself on doing the little things on the court, and I just want to say thank you to my teammates and coaches. This award means a lot.
Oh, there's voting. So that year, Thad Young came second.
Yeah.
Larry Nance Jr. third, Ben Simmons fourth, and Anthony Davis fifth.
Exemplary.
Wait, it's
New
calculated. It's not voted on.
Oh, wow. This is terrible. This is awful. So they really just use screen assist, deflections, loose balls,
okay.
Charges,
players
and shot
Players who
contests.
Played a minimum of 50 regular season games and at least 15 minutes per game are eligible. The five hustle stats measured were screen assists, deflections, loose balls recovered, charges drawn, and shot contests. Players were compared by position within each stat on a permanent basis.
Wait, what does the position have to do
with it? Guard, forward, center. So, like, you know, like guards will dive for loose balls more. And bigs will get screen assists more, sort of thing. Within each stat, a metric was calculated for each player based on his relative performance. The five metrics were summed together to determine players' aggregate scores, with Amir Johnson earning the highest score. That's amazing. They have the breakdown of the stats.
I like this one paragraph where they just kind of poop on him. To fully appreciate a player like Amir Johnson, you have to look deeper than the standard per-game box score stats. On the surface, his 4.6 points, 4.5 rebounds, 1.6 assists, 0.6 steals, and 1.6 blocks don't really stand. Okay, seriously? Congrats on these crappy stats.
The conclusion is basic. Johnson's combination of per-minute efficiency in both traditional and hustle stats offer a cleaner picture of his importance to his team and his overall impact on the game. Congratulations, Amir Johnson, for winning the 17-18 NBA Hustle Award.
I want there to be a contractual incentive tied to this, and I want to see somebody, like, clearly trying to... Just clearly gaming the stats.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Like, wait, let me contest this. What a ridiculous thing to it. I love that they took, like, you know, like the gritty aspect of basketball and like did a nerdy way to determine a winner. That's great. That's terrible.
I love how we just did a deep dive on it.
Yeah, I mean, it's the breakdown for this is going to be a mess. I'm really glad I don't timestamp because I'd have no idea how to do it. Speaking of grit, Kyle Korver.
Sure.
Here's the one important number everyone's waiting for. 41.8% from deep this year.
Okay.
Which is good.
Yeah.
It's good.
So I have one line of analysis.
Okay.
He's Kyle Korver.
Yeah, still pretty, just like slightly less effective.
He will be like, he was expected to be Kyle Korver and he was indeed Kyle Korver. You know?
Yeah, I gave him a C overall. I guess that's what I think of Kyle Korver now.
I gave him a C plus.
I gave him a B versus expectations though.
Yeah, I did too, actually.
Yeah, he's still very much Kyle Korver.
Yeah, there's not a lot to say.
Some of the Giannis pick and roll stuff was good.
Yeah, like that's an unguardable play.
He doesn't move well enough.
They only used it at the end of quarters, though, for some reason.
Yeah, I mean, we can't get into Bud right now. We could do a whole 50-minute pod just grading Bud. Probably use the bleep button.
It might be after Biggs, who knows?
Maybe. Let's see what the people say. Let's see what the people say. If the people ask for it, we'll do it. We're masochists. We did binge the Bucks. Came up twice in this one.
Dang.
Here's a theory on Kyle Korver.
A theory? Okay.
A theory on Kyle Korver. So, you know, like, on Twitter, like, Korver dime or, like, Korver block?
Sure.
Like the terms used for, like, when Kyle Korver does something.
Yeah.
I feel like there's kind of a movement out there that, like, he does these things. Like, that's why there's a term for it. I think there's a term for it because it's so rare. When he does it, you're like, oh, my God. Did Kyle Korver just pass a basketball to a driving player? That we should name this phenomenon. It's so rarely seen.
It's just, if he does anything other than catch the ball off a pin down and go up, it's a wasted possession.
So how long do you think Kyle Korver's been washed?
Washed?
Yeah.
Is he washed?
Apparently not. See, I was gonna do a thing where, like, he's never actually really lost a lot of minutes, which is kind of fascinating to me.
I feel
like,
no, that's what I was saying. He's been the same exact player for like 10 years now.
Yeah. He really, I mean, again,
like no change whatsoever, and not going down is a compliment.
Yeah. At age 38. Yeah. So like this year he played 16.6 minutes per game and one start, which still feels like a lot to me, but whatever.
When did he start a game?
Yeah, it might have been the bubble.
Oh,
or
was it the Nuggets game?
It might have been the Nuggets game.
Oh, okay.
Or it might have been, was it a bubble game?
Oh, it might have been.
It might have been a bubble game. It might have been the last bubble game. But that's his second lowest minutes ever. The first was actually his rookie year in Philly, where he played just under 12 minutes per game. So since then, he has played between 18 and 34 minutes every single season, including 19 last year, 21 the year before that. He played 73 games on the 17-18 Cavs.
He played how much?
73 games.
Really?
And over 21 minutes per game on the 17-18 Cavs.
Huh.
Like, I don't remember all these Kyle Korver minutes. Kyle Korver on the 16-17 Cavs, one of the best basketball teams in recent history.
Ever.
Ever. Played in his age 35 season. He got traded from Atlanta that year. Played 35 games, played 24.5 minutes a night for the Cavs. Kyle Korver has been out here. It just feels like he plays like 12 minutes per game. I don't know why. Maybe it's just me. But he plays quite a bit, and he still does. So maybe it's not as egregious as I thought.
Yeah. I wouldn't say he's washed, though.
No. He's
not a chance.
Yeah, he's just more Kyle Korver than ever.
Yeah. He just has to find his spots.
He's always been him. He knows himself.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's get to the weird part. The weird second.
The weird part.
That's just not weird, like funky.
Okay.
It's always funky when you're trying to break down guys who really don't play a lot.
Okay, let's do it.
Sterling Brown.
Yeah. So my first thing that I have written down here is I have no idea what Sterling is as an NBA player, but I know it's definitely not a point guard.
Yeah, that's very much true. Here's my one line. It's sort of similar. I separated two thoughts by commas. One, simply a non-factor. which he did not factor into the season whatsoever. The second part still could be an NBA rotation wing, but probably not in Milwaukee.
Detroit basketball.
Oh man, I can't wait. We got to get Laz on the pod just to laugh for 20 straight minutes. Especially if the Eric Bledsoe thing happens too. If they pick up Bledsoe and Sterling
and
in
DJ.
One offseason, send them over.
They do.
Maybe Ersan. Maybe Ersan too. They could use some floor spacing.
I would not stop laughing if that happened.
Can you believe Sterling Brown played 52 games for the Bucks?
He did what?
14.8 minutes per game. Sometimes I feel like Basketball
what?
Reference just makes stuff up.
It can't be true.
It can't possibly be true, but it is.
Like, huh.
One start.
Yeah, I guess. It's just, he never really found a role, like you said. He didn't have a role on this team this season. As a player, he's a solid corner shooter. I'll give him that. He's just, in terms of actually having the ball in his hands, he gets tunnel vision. And once he gets the ball, he's like, okay, I got to make my shot here, you know? Nothing else can happen on this possession. But sometimes the ball goes in.
Yeah, not often.
Not often. 37.1% from the field.
And again, it's lowered a bit. He takes more threes than twos. 32% from deep, which really, if you're looking for why didn't Sterling play, that's why. 42.5% from two is not really much better.
It's not great.
Pretty good defender, definitely physical defender. Not a
dumb
great
fouls though.
Dumb fouls for sure. Really good rebounder.
Yeah, no, for sure.
8.6 boards per 36 minutes. Really can pull in rebounds. Like there's something there. Some sort of like the Pat Connaughton of like the three, basically.
I feel like his ideal role is maybe like as a stretch four, but he's 6'5".
Yeah, that's the tough thing. If he can knock down shots, you could probably play him at the three. I mean, who knows? Basketball is weird nowadays. I think, you know, like not being traditional matters less than ever, but he's really like at least hit the corner threes. And a team just needs to like give him like just that. Like Kyle Kuzma, vastly, pretty much the opposite player. Kyle Kuzma, though, looked really good at some points this postseason for LA and in the bubble before the postseason, too. Because, like, they really simplified what he does. Like, it's basically, like, try really hard on defense, grab rebounds, and, like, either cut or take a spot up three, and that's it. And a team really needs to do that with Sterling. Like, just you stand here in the corner. If someone's not looking at you, you can cut. But otherwise, like, that is what you're not bringing the ball up. You're certainly not going to run a pick and roll. I think he could have a career. I don't know. We'll see. But I think he'll get at least one more.
There's things there.
Shot. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, there's actual fundamentals there. It's just, I feel like he should have played more with the Herd this season.
Yeah, I've been thinking that. But I think there was some weirdness in, like, the first year of Sterling DJ with them playing with the Herd. I don't think they particularly enjoyed it. Could have had something to do with the sometimes abrasive Jordan Brady, who can say. I know DJ enjoyed it more this year. I know everyone who had been there before this past season and this past season enjoyed it a lot more this past season. Winning helps too. But yeah, I think there was some weirdness there. And I think the Bucks kind of kept him as their break glass in case of emergency forward, which kind of did him a disservice, but whatever. They're trying to win a championship. Not trying very well, but trying. But yeah, I gave him two Ds. I gave him a D for expectations and a D for overall.
Yeah. I gave him a D and a D minus.
For overall?
Expectations.
Okay.
It's just, he's almost 26, by the way.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know. He's restricted, right, this year?
Yeah, I think he is. He is. Probably not for very long, but for right now, yes.
Yeah, I don't think he's coming back.
No, I would just be so stunned.
Restock the roster spot.
Yeah. But quick shout out off court, really trying to make a difference.
Oh,
in the
for
world.
Sure. No, for
and
sure.
And I think this week named to the NBA Social Justice Council.
Absolutely incredible human being. Absolutely incredible story. He's trying to make actual change. And I will forever respect and commend him for that.
Yeah, absolutely. But just not, not a great fit and just was not able to produce in Milwaukee. It's some on him. I mean, again, he really just couldn't hit threes, which is tough, but he never really got a huge chance. So I don't know. It's a little bit on both, but I hope he goes somewhere and gets a chance to play.
For sure.
Let's talk about Thanasis. Okay. Madden 21 star. Thanasis Adekunpo. I have a hot take.
Okay. What's your hot take?
I actually wanted to see a little bit more of him.
Okay, we have very opposite reactions.
I'm so intoxicated, and I'll admit, I watched from a bowling alley, because this is when you could do things. There may have been beverages served at the bowling alley. I will neither confirm nor deny.
Just
respect,
sodas,
right? Of course. I'll respect my privacy, no further questions about my bowling alley activities. But the Denver game, when he started and actually kind of gave Jokic a hard time.
Oh, the first one?
Yeah.
Like the actual one?
The Greek Night one.
Oh, yeah. That was really, he got the first points of the game, if I remember correctly, on fast break dunk.
It was an ugly loss by 12 to Denver. This was New Year's Eve.
Ugly loss by 12.
For the Bucks, that's a hideous loss.
Yeah, that's fair.
Thanasis, they were plus six in his minutes. He had 4 points, 2 fouls, very Thanasis, 1 steal, 2 for 3 from the field. His only missed shot was a three, and he missed a free throw. And he only played 5 minutes. But, he gave them something in those 5 minutes. And I think, I don't think he's a three. I don't even know if he's a four. But as a small ball five, I almost feel like there was something there. Probably a 4 or 5. I don't think he rebounds well enough. But I don't know. I like the energy. I like what he gave the Bucks. And honestly, when he played real minutes, he usually was able to score. He's very aggressive.
He was able to score because he would do nothing else but take the ball and end possessions.
He gets steals.
No, sure. But on the offensive end, when he gets the ball, he's taking a shot.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Absolutely. He's very confident. I've asked him about this. He's very, very confident. I don't know. I'm probably high on my own supply.
You'll get great highlights. What was his first points as a Buck? Was that poster dunk in Orlando?
I think so, yeah. He's taken some,
too. He had that massive block against the Knicks. He'll make athletic plays. If he could channel his athleticism, in a good way, I think he could be decent. He's also 28.
Yeah, if he was even close to Giannis's height, he's probably
he's 6'6 and 28.
Huh?
He's 6'6 and he's 28.
Yeah. If he's 6'9, he could probably be Kenneth Faried somewhere. He unfortunately is not.
No, he is not. He's not a good player.
No, I know.
I love the guy. But my goodness. Seems
I
gave a good
him
chemistry
a D overall.
Guy. I gave him an F overall.
Oh, wow.
My God.
I suppose.
Expectations, though, I gave him a B.
I gave him a C+.
Because, I had nothing in the tank for him. But.
You are disrespecting a former all-G League defensive player. And I
so
won't stand for it.
So be it. if that's the disrespect I'm giving out, I'll take it.
Yeah, he really does. That's the big thing with him. And I think part of it is, after his very quick stint with the Knicks, he went overseas. And, overseas, he probably is relied on to take shots like that. But even, on the Herd, where he played, a lot of – when he was down there, he's obviously playing a lot. Just, so much tunnel vision. And it's unfortunate. It's tough.
He has fun out there, though.
Oh.
He's
heavens,
a very,
yes.
very infectious personality.
100%.
100%. His smile is incredible.
Yeah, it is. Thanasis is enjoying life, and good for him. But yeah, not a great player. Probably
we'll be
gonna
back,
be
next,
back
year.
Next year.
Yeah, he's on a 2-year deal.
Maybe someone calls. Maybe there's a trade. Who knows?
He'll be back.
Yeah, unless Ed Stefanski wants to try and get back-to-back executive
Ty,
of the year.
He's on the
votes.
Team for one reason. He will be back.
Yeah, let's hope so. Let's hope he's back.
Yeah, he will be. So, we have, one player left?
We do, and not officially a Milwaukee Buck, but Cam Reynolds.
Yeah, he got exactly 0 seconds as a Milwaukee Buck this year. So.
I'm so mad. I have to go to a whole different basketball reference page to have any sort of statistics.
Go for it.
I don't have it up yet.
Okay.
Just okay. An utter failure by my part. Last year with Minnesota, he shot 41% from deep.
Like, that's the
games.
Thing. That's the thing. He is capable of being, like, an NBA player, like an end-of-the-bench guy at least, you know?
Yeah. I think so, too. I think it hurt him a little bit that he struggled with his shot a lot of the hurt season. He ended up scoring just 14.4 points per game, 5.1 rebounds, 1.4 assists, 40.2% from the field. But again, most of his shots were threes. Again, there, saying again a lot, but 34.4% from deep, 46.7% from two. I think part of it was he was working on fleshing out his game. I had a conversation early-ish on the season and kind of talked about, like, the just-a-shooter reputation that, I mean, any G-leaguer who comes up for a cup of coffee in the NBA, takes a bunch of threes, hits a bunch of threes, it's pretty much what they're going to be known for. And he kind of, I mean, he's a very polite, you know, person and a true professional, but kind of rebuked me a little bit and said, like, that's not all I have in my game. And he worked on some other stuff this year. I mean, he was posting guys up. He had some really, really fun dunks. The whole herd team had some really fun dunks. But the shot, and what is really sad about Cam Reynolds' season, of course, like, not playing a single minute, not ending up going to the bubble with the Bucks, just not getting out there, the team not bringing him, was he was really just starting to hit those threes when Rona hit and the G League season ended. Like, I think he had one or two good games in a row, and I remember talking to him, and he was like, this is the coolest quote. He's like, my dad, like, kept telling me, like, just keep shooting them. Don't worry about it. They'll start going in. And they finally did. Like, he was elated. And it was heading into the playoffs. And I was like, this is awesome. Like, he's going to get a chance to take this hot shooting into the playoffs. The herd's going to be set. And everything gets canceled. So really terrible timing, I mean, for literally everyone everywhere. But especially so for Cam Reynolds, who I think is a definitely a Bucks personality guy. I really hope he's back around next season. He still seems to be working out in Bucks and Herd gear, but unfortunate that he didn't get a single minute or game with the Bucks. You really do feel like the two-way guys deserve at least a game or two.
Especially when Frank got some decent run. You know?
Yeah, I mean,
Frank
did.
Playing the playoffs.
In fairness, Frank did win literally MVP
That's
of the
fair.
League he
yeah.
was at.
That's fair.
I think, I thought Cam might be a little bit better than Frank. Frank is just phenomenal.
Just like
Frank's
an
NBA.
I think it's like an archetype thing.
Yeah, that too. He was a table setter.
Yeah, but no, Frank was incredible. Just I wish we got a chance, you know, to see what Cam can do. Just
a
chance.
I really hope both of those guys are Milwaukee Bucks, full stop, next season. Like, I think they're
Frank
both,
for sure.
I think they're both good enough, and I do. And I think
I wish we had a sample size to judge Cam on.
I know. I wish we had an NBA one, too. But I'm a true believer in Cam Reynolds. I will take all the Cam Reynolds stock. And listen, we're talking about, with respect to Thanasis, the 14th roster spot for Cam Reynolds. I'm willing to take that gamble. Like, I don't think that's the kind of gamble I'd want to take. Someone who's been around the system, knows how to play Bucks ball. I mean, it's not exactly the same, but the herd this year did definitely look more like the Bucks actually play. I think he's good. I think there's something there. I really hope they keep him. They need to keep Frank, but
they
I
do.
Really hope they keep Cam too. I think, I gave him a C overall, judging as like, I mean, we
I
only
didn't
saw
give
him
any grades.
That's fair. That's you didn't, I no offense to you. I doubt you watched a ton of Cam Reynolds this year.
Nah.
C overall and C versus expectations. Just again, the shot didn't fall, but I do have faith.
Yeah. There's a chance. Potential B plus. New grade, specifically for Cam.
Specifically for Cam. And that's Cam is 25.
It's not bad. It's 3 years younger than Thanasis.
Exactly. Cam is about 2 weeks younger than me. Oh, God, I'm old. Oh, goodness. Okay. Now
okay.
We're talking about
Tyler Hero's 2000 and starting
oh,
in the finals.
Oh, my God, that hurt me. You know, I was going to do a tweet. Quick story. Oh, we got to talk about vegetarian fast food, too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But quick story. I was. Let me take you behind the curtain. Everyone's so curious. How does he come up with these tweets? No one's ever said this. No one's ever cared. But I'll tell you anyway, listener. I was going to do a tweet about myself and Tyler Hero and the obvious similarities, both
yep.
being successful kids from Milwaukee.
Mm.
And I got all set to do like kids born in the 90s in Milwaukee are just built different. And I
was
I was like, let me just check.
No.
And I type it in and it says 2000. I was like, are you serious? Is this how washed I am? Like, the young guys in the league aren't even born the same decade as me anymore. Come on, man.
It's the same century.
Oh, you didn't have to take it.
It's okay. We're getting old.
Yeah. Yeah, we are. Like, 95 has never felt like such an old birth year.
Yeah.
Like, there's significant amounts of NBA players now that are, like, younger than that, including Cam Reynolds.
Yeah. So, are we good with grades for the Wings?
Yeah, I think so. Overall, more disappointing than I would have expected.
Realistically, when we were doing this and I was looking at this list, I was like, my God, these are the Bucks' Wings.
Yeah. And again, like, Giannis sort of counts. And I guess you could say, like, I guess Dante sort of almost counts. But that doesn't even boost it up that much. The Bucks could really use, like, another good wing player. Like, I remember we got on, especially me, got on Andre Iguodala for being super washed. But, like, he'd clearly be the third best guy at least in this group. That would help. Like, another they need to be deeper at wing, I think.
Yeah, they really do. That should be a point of emphasis this offseason.
Definitely. But the biggest need is, I still think, point guard, but they also need wing depth. They need multiple things.
Yes. It is a roster that fell short, so it needs things.
Exactly. So, vegetarian options at fast food or fast casual food?
Okay.
I want you to go first. I don't want to step on your toes.
Okay, I said that I teased this last week. Qdoba, solid.
Yes.
Always.
Really good.
Yeah, you can't go wrong. Just solid. It's good quality, like, relatively. So, no, I'll take it. It's pretty good. Like, it's good.
Good price.
Yeah.
And especially the vegetarian.
Yeah, and it's like, you know, if you want to eat, like, semi-healthily.
Yeah, and what I really like about Qdoba, and if anyone didn't listen or forgot, so I cumulatively have been a vegetarian for, like, one total year of my life, not currently now, but I did, like, 9-ish months once, and then another, like, 2 months earlier in quarantine. So, and what I like about Qdoba is it's, like, a lot of places you kind of have to, like, do some searching to find vegetarian options or even, like, have to ask if they can, like, make something without something else. With Qdoba, it's literally, like, the first thing there.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, like, standard. It's just seen as standard, and then you can add meat for an upcharge. I really like that because sometimes, like, sometimes I'll be nervous about ordering something and just saying, like, hold the meat. Because I'm like, are you going to charge me the same price despite holding out the most expensive ingredient? Because that's bad business, man. I don't like the feeling of that.
And I think it's like it's becoming more and more common.
Definitely. So, definitely. So. And the fajita veggies make up for not meat. Fajita veggies are
Yeah. Oh yeah, so good.
Yeah. And free guac. I mean, Qdoba's
top
tier. Qdoba's top. Qdoba over Chipotle.
I was about to say that. Okay.
We're
full
all the
stop.
Way here.
Full
we're
stop.
All the way here.
At me.
At either of us. I have to stop myself every time during the ad read, but our great partner DoorDash deserves no slander.
Yeah.
Might as well go to the low budget version of
Qdoba. Okay, let's
now.
Do it.
Taco Bell actually, they lost some options. The menu redo, I think, is really going to hurt Taco Bell long term.
It probably will.
It sounds ridiculous just because Taco Bell is like, so it's Taco Bell. I mean, it's like it's everywhere, but they lost a lot of great items, but still they have the spicy potato soft taco was elite.
Just all the potatoes are gone.
All the potatoes. I can't believe the potatoes were honestly on a lot of their best stuff. The potato loaded griller was elite, but the black bean crunch wrap supreme. Have you had that?
Yeah.
It's like you don't really notice that there's not. That's my go to now, even though I'm eating meat again. I just think it's better.
It's solid. It's pretty good. It's like, you know, it's good. It's good food that'll make you feel happy.
Exactly. Where do you want to go from here?
In terms of more food?
Yeah. We only did like 2 minutes. We can do a couple more minutes, I feel like.
Okay. So, I don't know. Can't go wrong with like Subway.
Yeah, actually, you know, that's like one of the few. I think their tuna is good. I'll eat their tuna. But like, I don't like a lot of their meats. They have a lot of good veggie options. And I like, what dressing do you go with?
Mayo, honey mustard.
Oh, really? I do that. Oh, my goodness. I'm forgetting. I don't think it's honey mustard. I'm just going to Google Subway sauces while we talk. They have a sauce that like goes really well with.
I haven't had Subway in forever. Now that
I used to go all the time right before a herd like herd games because it was sort of why is this Pinterest? I see the picture.
Pinterest makes no sense to me.
Pinterest is not for us. Sweet onion.
Ooh, yeah.
The sweet onion sauce on veggies.
It's pretty good.
Really good.
That's pretty good.
I'm the basic dude. Like, I just get the Italian herbs and cheese almost every time.
Oh, yeah.
It's just elite. Well, throw the spinach on there.
Yeah. Throw all the veggies on there.
Yeah, pretty much. The banana peppers are good. Ooh. The peppers, black olives.
No, I literally put everything.
Oh, okay. They have jalapenos?
Yeah.
You like that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Spicy is the way to go.
I didn't mean to quote Kirk Cousins there. I will say a lot of Chinese places will have good options.
Ooh, the thing, it's not my palate.
Really? It's not your palate?
Yeah.
Okay. Fair. I like sometimes there's a place in Oshkosh called Royal Kitchen, and they do a general salad with tofu. I'm about it. I enjoy that. But you don't like Chinese food, though. That's interesting.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just, it's not my thing. I've been trying to, you know, maybe try. My girlfriend really wants me to try that more, so I'm trying my best.
I feel that. And what about, like, Thai food?
I feel like I've had that. I feel like it's a similar taste palette, but yeah. I think I just need to expand my horizons.
I guess so. So, unless we've covered it already, like, what's your go-to, like, on the run, just want to grab something quick? Option.
Grab something quick. Oh no. See, if I'm grabbing something quick, I might just go get some cheese curds from somewhere.
Oh really? So you had not like Culver's?
Yeah, Culver's, man.
I was just gonna ask you about Culver's. I wanted to start you know what? Next time.
Next time?
Let's deep dive Culver's next time.
I'm down.
I was gonna say, are we gonna have enough? Because I was like, oh, just cheese curds for the food, but we have custard to talk about.
Oh yeah.
So we can can talk.
Yeah, we'll do that next.
Yeah, deep dive on that. That's going to be our most downloaded episode ever.
Oh yeah, for sure.
People will tune in to hear about Culver's. But yeah, hopefully you guys are liking these episodes and this new feature. I think it's a fun way.
I think it is really fun. It's a nice little thing to do in the off season. We're relatable people, Ty. We're relatable Wisconsinites.
I think it's good for us to exist outside of just a basketball sphere. Like we do go outside sometimes to eat.
Yeah, safely.
Yeah, safely, of course. Mask up, folks.
Yes, please. But yeah, it's just, it feels nice. Wisconsin's a very foodie state, so, you know, we gotta relate.
Do you drink wine at all?
Not a wine guy.
Okay, that's fair. Well, you know what? We have a lot of topics.
We got a lot of content. But unfortunately, that'll have to come next time because that is it from us here on the Eurostep. If you did enjoy this episode, please leave a rating and subscribe on your podcast platform of choice. I almost became a YouTuber there, Ty. I almost said like and subscribe.
YouTubers make money, dude. We should pivot.
Yeah, pivot to YouTube instead of podcasting.
Pivot to video. What could go wrong? What could go wrong with sports creators pivoting to video?
Oh my God. But then we'd be leaving our great friends at Blue Wire, who have great content all across their network that everyone should go check out. Until our next episode where we'll talk about Culver's, apparently. It's going to be a good tease. And Biggs. Yeah, that too.
I was going to say, can we mention
that? You know, like, but why are people really tuning in, Ty?
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I get it.
So we will talk to you then. But before I let you go, I want to talk to you guys about Bet Online. The wait is finally over and football is back. You might not be at a game this year, though apparently some stadiums are opening up a little bit. You can still be in on the action at BetOnline. BetOnline is going the extra mile to make sure you can get in on every possible chance to win this season. From game spreads and totals to team, player, and coaching props, BetOnline gives you more options to wager than anywhere else. You can get in on their season opening bonuses today and start off wagering on wins, division, and championship futures all day, every day. Head to BetOnline today and take advantage of all the great sign-up bonuses. Don't forget to use promo code BLUEWIRE at betonline.ag. That's BLUEWIRE, all one word. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.